And Tim Whetstone, member for Chafee. Hello.
Morning, boys.
You're looking well.
Oh, top of the pops today, really.
Fit as a fiddle.
Well, it's been a busy week, but, come back to the Riverland. Great weather, good people, and got more politics in the pub today.
Well, you'd be loving that. What a great opportunity to get down to grassroots and have a chat to the constituents find out what, you know, they're talking about and what they want.
Yeah, well, Barmer Club last night and, there are about 50 people down there and we had, chatted with a lot of them, but good food too.
Mm. Did you put a couple of bucks on the bar or how does it work?
Well, I did buy... some consumables there for people to try.
Consumables. So make sure you put that in the right column in the ledger.
That could be a packet of chips and a lemon squash too.
That's right. So what sort of feedback have you been getting? Because we're joking around grassroots, but it really is, isn't it? You're on the ground chatting to the people.
Yeah, look, I think some of the concerns yesterday were, about how do we grow our tourism sector. So there were tourism operators there looking to either expand or to put more value into their tourist product. Some of that, some local government issues, as there always is. And I met with some of the Barmer Club board members and they're looking at ways that they can upgrade their changing facilities, not only for the footy club, but for the netball and the basketball to bring in those change rooms into line with public expectation now, particularly with female footy on the go. We really have to accommodate for the women as well as the fellas.
That's right. You were saying accessible. Geez, you really are at the moment between the politics in the pub and the survey. People can really have a say at the moment, can't they?
And I'm even here too.
Well, there you go. I mean, have a look at this.
Yeah, no, look, that's what it's about. And if I'm truly going to represent the region, I've got to get the feedback and have a really, really clear understanding of how people are feeling, what the issues are. And, living in the community, I think, is partially important. But you've got two ears and one mouth. So it's twice as much listening and half as much talking.
Oh, I love that. Two ears. One mouth. We're done this morning. Oh,
absolutely.
Now, look, I just want to jump in. Sorry, Lockie.
Yeah, because,
you're talking to the public, the constituents, the voters on what they want and what they're feeling and what they're thinking. You've been absolutely bailed up this morning from the moment you walked in the door. He's been beside himself all week when he found out you're coming in. How long do you reckon I should leave it before I mention the Superloop 500? And I thought he'd at least wait till maybe we were off air and just have a. But no. The minute you walked through the door, Mr. Winnell was straight into you.
Well, motorsport's one of those cultures you either love it or you don't. The announcement last week has really brought out that culture. And look, I'm a passionate motorsport fan. And that announcement got me by surprise. So, I will speak to all of my colleagues to look at the consideration that, will that announcement stand or is there any... just a tiny little glimpse of hope that potentially that could go back out to public consultation and it might be revisited.
Well, we can only hope so. Yeah. Maybe we could secure it for the Riverland. It'd be a great draw card.
Oh, I still think the drag strip for the Riverland.
Now, this is something you also mentioned. I think we're ready for it.
Well, I know that the Shaheens, Tail and Ben were considering a drag strip. That seems to be put on ice. We've got the facility at the Field Day site. We've got the flat country. A lot of motor enthusiasts up here in the Riverland, and I think it's just a great opportunity to diversify our economy, drag people into the region, and drag racing could be a future event here.
Well, there was one many, many, many years ago, just before the Lyrup turnoff on the highway.
It was a legitimate drag, you and your mates, on a Wednesday night.
Seriously, there was a sign there for years and years and years that was like Riverland Drag Strip. And I still reckon there's a little bit of bitumen there in the bush somewhere.
No, that was the Goorta Highway, and there were white stripes on the highway. And I think they call that illegal drag racing.
No, this was a legitimate drag. People are now yelling at the radio going, oh, I remember that.
Yes, I remember that.
It would have been 40 years ago.
Yeah. Tim, some serious good news this week. Cross-border community members no longer have to do those weekly COVID tests, which is a pleasing thing for... And it's some common sense.
Yeah, look, it is common sense. But I think it has. That's part of the progress within the transition committee's findings of what we need to do. Many had come to me and said that, you know, it's starting to have a psychological effect on those people. You know, it's not a nice process to be swabbed. And having it done weekly, it sort of almost traumatises people. But look, it's got to the point now where we can relax those border controls. And it's great news, not only for people of Lindsay Point and, you know, the greater Riverland that travel that way, but also up into the Mallee, particularly at Murrayville. So, look, I think sensible decision, and those people will give those nostrils a bit of a rest.
Mm, it's been a long slog. Gee, South Australia, we really set the standard, didn't we, to an extent?
Well, you know, please remember, it can be so easily undone, and if people become too complacent or we, you know, we break those COVID rules... you know, we've only got to have a community transmission event, and then we're back to the dark days. Yeah. And I think South Australia should hold its head high that we've been able to probably outperform any other state in the nation, and the world is watching us. And if they want to watch a great community or a great area of South Australia, they look at the Riverland. People will come and visit because it's safe. It's a great place. And they can travel without being unencumbered by lockdowns and draconian, you know, COVID measures. Mm.
Something else you've worked very hard with, and that's the fruit fly restrictions and whatnot. And a little bit of fly picked up, I think it was early this week, in some rock melons or something.
Yeah, it was actually picked up in mangoes out of Northern Territory.
That's the one.
And look, we have pressure on our borders every day. Mm. And this is just an example. It was exposed. And they recalled all of that fruit, which is, you know, a biosecurity measure that they have to. But again, you know, people have to remain vigilant. And it was a community person that reported maggots in the fruit. And, you know, they recalled all that fruit. But again, biosecurity here in the Riverland is front and centre when we're coming into particularly our summer fruit season. It's more important than ever that we make sure that we do all the right things. We give that message to everyone, because the $375 hurts the hip pocket.
Yeah, it's kind of very similar to the coronavirus thing, isn't it? It's so much work's been done, and it just takes one little slip up, and we're back at the beginning.
That's right. That's right. And you know, biosecurity for our fruit is just like COVID security for our people. Mm-hmm. And you know, the balancing act will be now is how do we come out of you know, what was to what is. And what is now is about making sure our economy bubbles along okay, people are safe and aren't put under threat. You know, it would be devastating to have a secondary infection here in South Australia and then all hell will break loose.
Mm. Do you take much interest in politics around the world?
Gee whiz, hasn't that been interesting?
you know where this is leading, don't you? Obviously.
Yeah. Look, I made a forecast. I thought I thought the Don, or Donald, had done a pretty good job, particularly in the economy. He did lose a level of respect the way that he behaved. But at the end of the day, he's not a politician. Mm-hmm. He's a business. He's a ruthless businessman, and he calls it how he sees it. My son lives in the US, and he said that what Trump has done for the US economy, for unemployment, you know, he's left a legacy there, even if he does get ousted by Biden. At the end of the day, you know, a good, strong economy is about jobs. And the bottom line for those people in the US was that since Trump has been in power, the increase of $7,000 per year to the average family income, that is massive. You know, if you look at yourself, an extra $7,000 in the skyrocket.
Oh, yeah.
Is massive, and that came across the board to every American citizen.
Interesting, that business background that you mentioned, because we've had a couple of politicians in Australia that have come from a very staunch business based background. That overly important, you think, in this day and age?
Well, it can, and it depends on the climate or what the global challenges are. And it showed that Donald Trump was a very good economist, very good at businessman, but he didn't handle the COVID event well. Mm. And that was his undoing, I think. Personally, that's my view, but that was his undoing. He wasn't a statesman when it came to dealing with the health and care of the people. Yeah. He was more worried about the economy.
He needs some kind of a lock on his Twitter, I think, where he can do a tweet, but then he can't actually post it for 24 hours.
Whether it's a marinade
filter or something.
Whether it's a lock on his Twitter or a sock in his mouth, you know, you can take your pick.
Now, the most important political poll getting around is Polly's Picks in the Pioneer.
Ooh.
Did you catch up on Wednesday? Do you know where you're sitting?
Well, I did notice a couple there. But
you're sitting very well. I'd be calling it if I was you. You're currently at 49 to Tony Passon's 29, so you've got quite a nice lead there.
And we are handing out the winner for this on the week of the... It'd be about the 16th of December, somewhere around there.
Somewhere around there.
You've got... There's only 7 weeks to go now. So,
most people say I've got a good face for radio.
Just sit back, relax, don't worry too much about it. Okay, just briefly to the survey that is still out, still open.
It
still
is indeed. And look, I urge everyone to please consider filling it out. If you've thrown it away or you can't find it, go on onto my Facebook page and have a look. Fill out the survey. You can still win the $250 from Better Home Living. But look, I think it's important that we get that feedback. Look, I've got about 600 returned, and I would really like to think that I could get up around the 1,000 mark. So I'm asking everyone to give it some consideration and be a part of it.
Well, even at 600, that exceeds your expectation, I believe. When we first spoke about it, you were sort of, if I get a couple of hundred, I'll be happy.
Yeah, well, look, I guess my expectation has grown over a little bit of time. I'd like to see I can get 1,000 in. But look, anyone that's considering, anyone that wants to have their voice heard, fill out the survey and I'm listening.
Absolutely. Get over to Tim's Facebook page or also the website, Tim Whetstone. Member for Chafee, thanks for your time this morning. We'll catch up again real soon.
As always, great fun.